Let's open to page 35 in your books, the second morning line, message one, and let's read the title and the subtitle together. Everybody got it? Page 35. All right, ready? Practicing the twos or threes, pursuing Christ in twos or threes. And let's read this, the subtitle again. Pursuing Christ in twos or threes. Okay, so this is another line. There's lots of lines in this training. We have the morning revival line. We have the line on the Spirit that we just finished, the human spirit revealed in Ephesians. And now this is the practicing the twos or threes. And, of course, there'll be the evening line later, right, the revelation of the mystery. And Brother Mark will be here tonight, so. Amen. But this line is probably the most experiential line of all the lines, and that's really our goal for this portion. And this is really a crucial matter that we would all learn to have companions. And so I'm sure, you know, most of you have heard that you need companions and you need, you know, ones to pursue together with. But the question, you know, in my experience and in serving on the campus with the students, it's a challenging matter to have a regular companion. And, you know, our situations always change too. And there's lots of different kinds of companions and lots of different kinds of groupings. But, you know, I think Satan almost fights the most against this more than anything else. Because really what the companions do is for one, enables us to pursue the Lord together, and also it builds up the body of Christ. So that's what defeats Satan is you know, the companionship, the building up. So this is a super important matter, and hopefully even this week, you know, you should have a lot of prayer this week, personally, corporately, in your groups, with your twos and threes partners that you will have starting today. Pray for this, that, you know, even this week you could build up companions, and then especially back home when you're on your campus, that you would have others to pursue the Lord with. So maybe get out your Bibles right now, or your phones, or whatever you look up the word in, okay? Because we're going to read some verses today. Like, we're going to read a lot of verses because it's in the Bible. And, yeah, it's good. Okay, so first one you probably all know by heart, hopefully, 2 Timothy 2:22. Super easy to remember, 2 Timothy 2:22. Okay, so do we need to look it up or what? No? Okay, let's go. Ready, set? But flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Okay, what are the two most crucial words for us in that verse? With those. Amen, you got it. There's a lot of crucial words. Actually, there's flee and pursue. Wow, those are really good. You think about college. Okay, think about college. You're in college or you're going to be in college. How many different things do we need to flee in college? Like just about everything. Right? I mean, so much fleeing to do. Can you flee by yourself very well? No, you have to be honest, okay? Just be honest with yourself and with me and each other. We're not good at fleeing by ourselves. Or maybe you can flee for a little bit and then you fail, right? Guess what? We need those, okay? And then pursue. Pursue lots of things, right? Righteousness, faith, love, peace with those. So both to flee and pursue. We have to have those. Okay, so super important. So anyways, yeah, definitely pray for that this week. That's a big need. Okay, now, how about let's have some, maybe I'll just read you this one because it's in Numbers. We have, if you're looking at your outline, we have some examples in the Old Testament. So first we have Joshua and Caleb, and you know, the children of Israel didn't really, you know, they scouted out the good land. And 10 of the 12 spies that scouted out the good land came back with a negative report and said, you know, there's giants there. It's a scary place. Even though, you know, think about this. What did God just get done doing for them, right? What did he do for them? What kind of things? Name them out. What did he do? What? Okay, there were some plagues. Remember those? I mean, the plagues, right? He did all these 10 plagues. Okay, he parted some water. You remember that? Pharaoh, his whole armies in there, you know. Lots of things the Lord had done for them. Did he already give them manna at this point? He gave them manna, or is that after that? No, before, right? Manna from the heaven, like just from the heavens. Do you guys have that now? Can you go outside and get some manna this morning? No, we had awesome breakfast, but they had manna every morning. Okay, that's a miracle, right? Every morning you got a miracle. And then water out of the cleft rock. There's a rock following them that they would get water from in the middle of the wilderness. Okay, he did all this, and then they still, and he said, I'm going to give you that land. And they were like, we're scared. But, and that's kind of like college sometimes, you know? You're going to pursue in college, and they were like, I'm scared. You know, guess what you need? Companion. So what it says about these two brothers is that they fully followed Jehovah. Okay? Out of 2 million children of Israel, these two fully followed Jehovah. And they pursued together. Okay? That's how they had the strength. And also, you know, Moses wasn't by himself either. Moses had Aaron. They're not listed here. Every time Moses spoke, it wasn't Moses that spoke. Aaron spoke for Moses. They were together. There's all these pairs, okay? And then, okay, so that's really neat. Okay, how about someone look up, how about we get a two or three bros? Let's look up 1 Samuel 18:1. Let's get some three bros to stand up together, some companions. Who got, anybody got it? You guys got it? Okay, stand up. Read that loudly with a strong spirit.
Jonathan loved him like his own soul.
You hear that? That's awesome. Okay, so it says the soul of Jonathan became knit with the soul of David. The soul. Wow. And it says Jonathan loved him like his own soul. So that's pretty built up, wouldn't you say? We need to get built up with one another. Okay? And then we have Daniel. Okay, let's have some sisters read us Daniel 2:17-19. We got some two or three sisters stand up with a strong spirit. Who's got it? Okay, strong spirit. Got it back there? Okay. Amen. So that was at the time when Nebuchadnezzar said that not only did someone have to tell them what the interpretation of his dream was, but they had to tell him what the dream was. He didn't even tell him what the dream was. And all the wise men said that's impossible. Nobody asks people to do that. Well, so what did Daniel do? He didn't just say, well, let me just think real hard or let me go pray by myself. He had companions. I mean, we get in situations where we have these struggles. And we're struggling with somebody or something. And then, you know, we need to have these people. We need to have Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So it says twos and threes, but this is four. So that's okay. We don't have to be legal. You can have five, six. You know, you need, you, and this is the point I think you got to get from this line. Don't, you know, and on one hand, don't be idealistic about what your companion is supposed to look like, okay? Or what your relationship with them is supposed to look like, okay? Because there's a ton of different kinds of companions, and you might have multiple ones that help you in different ways, in different functions, that you do different things with. And so you have to have an open mind, and a lot of times, or maybe majority of the time, it won't be who you picked, okay? And that's probably better. If you pick them, you might be natural. You might be natural with them. It's better if you let the Lord pick. And tomorrow the brothers will share more about how to get a companion and what to do with your companion and stuff like that. But, you know, you need people, though. Sometimes you need one or two. Sometimes you need three or four or five. Sometimes you're just like, man, I need some bros. We need to pray, right? And then you got to pray. Okay, so we have all these things that we go through. Okay, so I think right now we're going to bring up a Hannah, not a Hananiah, but a Hannah and a Devin. How about you guys come up real quick? And they're gonna share just a teeny bit about their, and Karen and Janice, yeah, you know, the rest of you guys. Okay, these guys are from Pullman, so I'm picking on them. Do we have a mic? Okay, a mic right there. Okay, so they're going to share just a teeny bit about their experience of getting built up and pursuing the Lord together. Amen.
So, excuse me, I came to WSU with not having any friends, and I didn't grow up in the church life either. But the Lord really worked through me, and I ended up finding my companions like the second day that I was at school. And it was my greatest accomplishment in school was being able to make companions and to stick with them. And we just pray together. We make food together. We just really enjoy each other's company. We lived in a sister's house for 3 years because we can't live in it as a freshman. And so just being able to be with them really made my college experience, like, enjoyable when it could be terrifying.
Amen. So just like Devin, I wasn't in the church life until I came to college and I found the saints. So amen. But I did find my companions, and I, you know, we have, you know, we're pretty much best friends right now. But, you know, when we're stressed or, you know, we have anxieties, you know, I could go to them and pray with them or sing with them. And it was really sweet because we were able to, you know, be gained together and be built up.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Living with the sisters for 3 years really taught me how sometimes we take it for granted the fact that with our companions, we not only share some likes or some dislikes, but we also share the same life. You know, when we go to school and we go to our classes, it's so easy to be like, you like the sports team, I also like the sports team. You like this person, I also like this person. You dislike that food, I also dislike that food. And we bond over something so natural. But when it comes to our companions, whatever we like or whatever we dislike, it doesn't matter because we all share the same life. Amen. And that is the biggest blessing.
Amen. So it wasn't like they came in the first day and I thought to myself, these are going to be my companions. No, we just continued to meet and pursue, and eventually we just started praying together, I think is really what happened. And so, I mean, the testimony that it's not necessarily, I guess that would say that's my testimony, is that it's not necessarily your natural choice. And I'm so thankful that it's not, because the Lord knows exactly who we need. And when we were kind of coordinating this morning, I said, you know, there's so many situations, like, individually that we went through in college, and so many, because, like, we're all seniors, and so many, you know, corporate things that we went through that we could name, and we were able, like almost all of them, to pray together over those things and to have the Lord cover it. And I'm just so thankful for these companions. And even I left Pullman because my program continued in a different city. I left Pullman about 2 years ago. But these guys are still the ones that I consider my close companions, because we got built up, you know, early in college and prayed together and are still encouraging and pursuing together. So, amen.
Amen. Super awesome. Amen. So, yeah, they all came in as freshmen together. Two of them grew up in the church life. Two of them we met right their freshman year. And they all became companions, you know, from the beginning. It was really wonderful to see. And so it's just powerful. Like, it's hard to describe what it is to have a companion. You know, you can't just put it in a box. This is a companion. You know, this is a vital group. It's just this organic thing that gets built up over time. And it takes time. Like they said, in a sense, they were kind of friends from the beginning, which is great. But getting built up takes time. And that means you have to spend time together. You know, you have to pray together. They mentioned prayer quite a bit because it really, you know, it's our spirit that builds us up, you know. So, but, you know, they're also friends. That's okay. Even in this reading, it's talking about friends, okay? We need people that we can go to when we're struggling, and even that, it helps if you want to be around them, you know, that you like each other. It's okay. You know, you don't want to be natural, but you're friends pursuing the Lord together in college. I just treasure them. It's going to be so sad. I mean, two of them, Karen left a year ago, and Janice left 2 years ago, and they're all still companions. You know, so they're still built up. So it's eternal. And that's the thing. The genuine building in spirit is eternal. So it's like wherever you go, you run into them again, and it's just like you never left because you're built up. And that's powerful. And that's what builds up the body of Christ. That's what defeats Satan. And that's why he fights against it. And that's why you have to pray. You have to pray and pray and pray. Say, Lord, if you do have companions, Lord, build me up more with those companions. If I don't have a companion, Lord, give me more companions. Give me companions, you know, pray for that. Okay, and then, so anyways, you have examples in the New Testament. You know, the Lord always sent them out two by two. The Lord would bring, especially Peter, James, and John, he would bring them with him in little twos and threes. A lot of times he wouldn't bring all the disciples. He would just bring two or three with him, you know. But he was always, you know, he sent them out on the gospel by two. You look at Paul's writings, he would always write these epistles with another brother. Sometimes a brother that we never heard of. Who's that brother? But Paul would be like, I'm writing this epistle with me and this guy, you know. And you're like, okay. But Paul saw the body. You think of a tough guy. You know, some of you brothers think you're tough guys. And, you know, you're just like, I got this. You know, I don't need the brothers. You know, I got this. Well, you're not that tough because by yourself, Satan will pick you off, okay? You know, but if you have companions, you know, if you think you're tough, though, Paul was a tough guy. Like, he was probably the toughest kind of tough guy. But he not only realized how much he needed the Lord, you know, he said, his power is perfected in my weakness. Because he realized, no matter how much power I have, compared to the power of God, it's like this. You know what I mean? Like this much. So you think you're tough. But, you know, Paul realized he not only needed the Lord, but he needed the body. So everywhere he went, he always went with brothers. I mean, there's so many verses where it's just like, even there's this one verse, he named off a bunch of brothers. And I was like, who are all these brothers? They're just some guys. Let's see, where it is. Where is it? Okay. And Sopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, as well as Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, and the agents Tychicus and Trophimus. Okay, so he had a whole group there. Paul went with a whole group, but he always went with at least one. And this is the Apostle Paul who finished the Bible, who, you know, okay. We need companions, just so you know. Okay, so I hope you got the point. Okay, now maybe for time, because I have to have one more share and then I got to let Peter have some time here. Well, for one thing, let's have brothers share. There's a couple of pairs here on Roman numeral 2. You see where there's like two words, witness and testimony, and then let's have the brothers read the first pair that I just read. Ready, set, go. Okay, sisters, next pair. Brothers. Sisters. Brothers. Okay, so we have a lot of important things that these twos and threes do, okay? One more verse you're probably really familiar with is, let's look up Ecclesiastes 4, 10 through 12. Okay, and we'll all read that together. I know you're familiar with this, but we're going to read it with a strong spirit because it's important. Maybe 9 too. I think we can read 9. I don't even have it. Ready, set, go. You got the twos and threes in that last verse, right? You have the two with will withstand him, and then the threefold cord, even better. Three is even better. Two's good, three's better, and then there's four and five. Okay, and you know, so all these verses are really great. The strength and durability, Deuteronomy 32:30. That one's how one chases a thousand, two chases how many? 2,000? 10,000. So it's not just double. It's not like, okay, so we got two, so we get 2,000. No, 10,000. Wow. So there's just a multiplied strength and blessing in the building. Okay, and then if you look at under Roman numeral 2, we got point A. Let's all read point A together. Okay, and then we have, let's read B too. Okay, so not only did the apostles go out two by two and in the body, but the triune God himself. You want the pattern? God. Okay, so if you don't believe that we need companions, God was a companion with himself, right? That's how the Trinity, it's the Trinity, it's three and why? Why is there a Trinity, right? We don't know. I mean, it's mysterious, but that's how God does it. He does everything in the principle of the body, of the fellowship of the companions. That's about as close of a companion example as you can, you know, three but one. But that's our pattern, and that's the life that we have within us. We have a life in us that wants to be built up, okay? So we have to tap. That's why when we get together with our companions, we have to tap into that life that is a companion life. It's a building life. Okay, real, real super quick. David and Jake, can you come up? Where are you at? Right there. Oh, yeah, you're right there. Okay. Okay, we're going to have them just share their testimony real fast, and then we'll get them Peter. And Peter.
So me and Jake both go to WSU, and we experienced the twos and threes this year. So by ourselves, we have a morning revival time where we get built up and spend time together. And then we also experienced the threes in our evening brothers' prayer session. And we just get built up in the brothers' house. Yeah.
Yeah, so this year we just, at the encouragement of Jonah, actually, we just started doing a morning revival time together because both of us found that individually it was really hard to get up and, even go to class, honestly. But especially to do morning revival. So we found encouragement in one another, and we decided to start, we picked a place on campus, decided to start doing morning revival. And I would really encourage everyone to do this. It really, really helped me get into the morning revival and be revived in the morning. Also, I just wanted to share, my testimony too is that the Lord doesn't pick our natural choice. David is definitely not somebody who I would have picked by myself. But honestly, I pick terrible friends anyway. So, I met him at a retreat one time, and I was like, who is this guy? And then eventually he ended up coming to WSU and really became a strengthening to me. That's my testimony.
Jake was also not my natural choice. We don't share any of the same interests. Our personalities don't always match,
like
but
opposite.
Yeah, they're actually sometimes opposite. But actually, when we get together early in the morning and enjoy the Lord,
there's definitely a special portion. And it's just such a blessing this year. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, and I'll just maybe I can just mention the brothers started just praying at the brother's house every night. One of the brothers helped start it without any recommendation from us. And they just started doing it the whole year, this last year, and pretty much faithfully, like every single night. And they keep it real short. But it was something really powerful, I feel like, because it was their thing. You know, I was never there or anything like that. They just was like, we're going to do this. And so, anyways, that was more of what, like fives and sixes or four or five. So, anyways.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the twos and threes.
Amen.
You know, this line of messages that I really enjoy, how Jonah started, and I really enjoy how this outline has been put together. I want you to look at your outline with the three Roman numerals. The first Roman numeral tells us, well, the best way the young brothers and sisters to experience Christ to find at least two or three companions in the Lord. So in this Roman numeral, it shows us some examples, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, how God will use two together to pursue him and to lead his people. Right here, you have Joshua and Caleb fully follow the Lord, to fully follow God together.
Amen.
Saints, we do a lot of things together, but they follow God together.
Amen.
David and Jonathan were spiritual companions. Many of us are friends. We grew up in the church life together. We were companions. But I will ask all of us, how spiritual is your relationship with your companion? We may know each other so well. We may hang out with each other. However, David and Jonathan were spiritual companions. And Daniel and the three companions, they prayed together in one accord.
Amen.
I just want to point out some of these characteristics of these twos and threes that God used, that they follow God together. They pursue God together. They pray together. And they were spiritual companions together. Right? And in Roman numeral 2, we see some of the characteristics and advantages of having twos and threes. Right? These are twos and threes. They are witnessing and testimonies. They are complement and match. They are partnership and companionship. All these ones help us to go on and to pursue the Lord. However, as we proceed to Roman number 3, I just like to point this out, that these kinds of twos and threes that we're talking about has nothing to do with any kind of twos and threes in today's world. You know, today, people pursue companionship in the world. People pursue support group in the world, right? They facilitate study group. They know that doing things in the groups are effective. However, why we're emphasizing on the twos or threes is that it has everything to do with the building of God.
Amen.
So how about us read Roman number 3 all together? Okay. The gathering of twos and three with God are the reality of the church. These twos and threes are the reality of the church and are needed. I want you to highlight it. Needed to build up the local church. With this, I'd like to point it out from the verses to show you this twos and threes is entirely from the scripture. Okay? If you have your New Testament, how about let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, the second part. The Lord said, I will build my church, and the gate of Hades shall not prevail against it. How about let's read it together, the second part, starting from I. Okay?
I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
Here, while this verse is one of the greatest prophecy in the entire Bible, that God, the Lord said, I will build my church.
Amen.
The gate of Hades shall not prevail against it. Throughout the past centuries, up until today, this prophecy has not been fulfilled. But if this is the Lord's prophecy, he will fulfill it.
Amen.
And the way he fulfills it is by the recovered church.
Amen.
that today he wants to build his church. And notice that he said that I will build my church. This church is not of any other person, matter, or things, but this is the Lord's church. This is the church that absolutely belongs to the Lord. And the way we carried it out, you know, later in verse 19, it talks about that I will give to you. How about us read verse 19 together? I will give
to you.
Okay, well, this Matthew 16 is mainly talks about the aspect of the universal church. And for the Lord to gain his church, well, it is also a matter related to his kingdom, where he is able to gain a group of people that would he will have the authority and he will have the realm where he can reign. And this is another aspect of the universal church that we just read, that if we pray, when we whatever we you bind in the earth shall have been bound in the heaven, and whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in the heavens. Okay? And this set of verses is corresponded with Matthew chapter 18. How about us turn to that? Matthew chapter 18, verse 17 all the way to verse 20. This portion is related to the aspect of the local church. On the one hand, there is one church, the universal church. However, the other aspect is that the church must have an expression in each locality. We can see that in verse 17, which it says, tell it to the church. It means that it shows that the church must exist locally in order for people to tell it to the church in their locality. Okay? And in verse 18, that's where it corresponds with chapter 16, which again said, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on the earth shall have been bound in the heaven. And whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in the heaven. Right? So it is the same promise. In 19, it continues. Again, truly I say to you that if two of you are in harmony on earth concerning any matter for which they ask, it will be done for them from my Father who is in the heaven. For where there are two or three gathered into my name, Amen. There am I in their midst. Amen. So in other words, for the Lord to carry out the building of the church, well, the way, the most practical way, one of the way, is that he needs people to meet in twos or threes. This is one of the ways that the local church should meet. On the one hand, while these twos and threes are not the church, they are a way that the local church can meet. In the Acts, we see so many examples that twos or threes are gathered together for prayer, they are gathered together for breaking of the bread, for teaching, and for preaching the gospel. Think about our situation, you know, saints. This is truly the most practical way to build up the church, that we could be gathered together in twos and threes, to be built up together as one. Many times we're in the world, we're individual. We can have worldly friends. We can have our twos and threes in the world. However, that cannot build up the church. In fact, that will drag you down, that you will not be able to pursue the Lord. At this point, I would like to ask one of the brother, Andrew, maybe you can come up to give your testimony concerning your pursuing with twos and threes in the brother's house. Amen.
Hello. I'm a fourth-year student at UBC in Vancouver. And just a little bit about myself, I grew up in the church life, mostly in the church life in California. And in my first year, I moved to Vancouver, and I really didn't know the church life there. So I moved there, and I was an international student, and our school had an international student integration program. And so that program puts you into groups that you team build with, and you get long-term support groups, basically. And, you know, all was good. We lived together, actually, before school even starts, and then get to know one another, and then we live in university. The support group continues throughout the whole year. And I thought everything was good. I thought, you know, I was ready for university. I thought maybe I didn't really need the Lord. Maybe I didn't really need the saints or the brothers and sisters. And by second year, I was well integrated into campus life. And I lived in kind of an apartment with three of my best buddies from this program. And this is, again, the secular kind of groups that, you know, is very outward. And but something, everything was right on outwardly, but inwardly, everything felt wrong. It was very dissatisfying. And I often asked the Lord, why am I so dissatisfied? And by winter 2014, I had the chance to go to the winter training at Anaheim. And the Lord simply gave me the feeling that I needed to go. And by His mercy and grace, I signed up with Vancouver, even though I didn't know anyone from Vancouver. And when I got to the winter training, I sat between two brothers, and I really felt that, you know, even though we didn't talk much, we all have the same life.
Right.
We're all pursuing the same thing.
Amen.
And this is unlike what is found in the worldly groups. And this is where we belonged, and this is where God's building is.
Amen.
And the main difference between worldly groups and the twos and threes we want to be in is that with our companions is that the Lord can work himself into us as the single motivating factor for our building up.
Right.
So even if the Lord gives us someone that is not who we want to be with, or even if the Lord gives us someone who we want to be with and we can naturally relate to, you know, we still have to deny ourselves eventually and turn back to the Lord. So the Lord is faithful if we ask, and He actually desires us to be with companions. We just need to ask.
Amen.
And the time we spend before the Lord with our companions as the twos and threes is eternal.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. So how about us proceed by reading point 8, Roman number 3.8. The most
basic way to meet with the saints in the local church is by having meetings in twos or threes.
Okay, one brothers. The meetings of the believers
are initiated by the Lord, who calls the believers out of all persons, matters, and things about
Amen. You know, the interesting thing about the Lord's promise that he said that whenever two or threes were gathered together. Notice that He did not say whenever twos and threes meet together. You know, that means that instead it says they were gathered together. So the question is, who is doing the gathering? Well, the gathering, the one doing the gathering is the Lord Himself. Our gathering is not initiated by us, but our gathering is initiated by the Lord. Whenever two or threes gather together, not just in the name, but into His name. That means in the person. We were gathered in the person. Whenever two of you are together, notice, realize that God is there. There were three of you. God is the living person. He's there with your twos, and He's there with your threes. And as He's gathering us at the same time, that means He's rescuing us out of something that has occupied us. He's saving us out of many preoccupations. Right? Just like this week, why don't you feel you've been rescued? Do you think you'll be pursuing the Lord this week if you're at home? As the Lord is gathering us, He is gathering, He is rescuing us out of our situation, out of all things that has occupied us, so that we can pursue the Lord. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, Paul charged these Jewish, these Hebrews, do not abandoning your own assembly. These Hebrews originally were in Judaism. The fact if they abandon their meeting as a Christian, that means they will go back to where they were originally. That is Judaism. So Paul is charging them not abandoning their own meeting, meaning that they need to continue to meet with all other Christians. Saints, I just like to encourage you that this training, you know, may have an end by the end of the week. However, you're gathering with the church, you're gathering with your twos and threes, can continue forever. Amen. Continue on in your daily life. Amen. And this is the way that we all can pursue the Lord together. Okay? And we have one more testimony, Charles. Maybe you can come up just to give us your testimony of being rescued out of your life.
So hello, I'm Charles from Vancouver. Amen. And I'm entering my final semester of college. Amen. And so during most of my college years, I was living at home with my family who aren't in the church life. And my home is a little far from the other saints. The closest small group meeting to my house was a 30-minute drive away. And so I found it hard to gather with the saints. And when I got home, I usually would just get on my computer and be by myself playing games and watching videos. And I didn't contact the saints much. But the Lord called me out of this situation.
Amen.
In the beginning of this year, for the spring semester, a spot opened up in the brother's house. And although moving into the brother's house wouldn't change my commute time by much, I decided to move in anyway because I wanted to spend time with the brothers.
Amen.
Although I expected more gatherings with the saints, there were many gatherings that I didn't expect. So I can testify that it's the Lord who gathers us together. For example, I was invited to a weekly dinner time with a couple and some students, and I got to know them more through this time. And during a YP conference, I was serving, and two young people, they came over and stayed over. And through this time, I was able to learn how to shepherd. And also, earlier this year, some students from California came to Vancouver to blend, and four stayed over at the brother's house. And so by being there, I was able to blend more with them.
Amen.
And in our gatherings, we enjoyed the riches of his presence. Because in Matthew 18:20, where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst.
Amen.
If I abandoned the brother's house and went back to living with my family, I would go back to my original situation of isolation,
right.
Which was actually quite my testimony in the summer when I went back for a week. So my encouragement to you is whatever living situation you have, just be open to the Lord.
Amen.
And allow him to gather you with the other saints.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Okay, how about accept the sisters, read Roman number 3:2. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I've covered that. It's to gather together into his person. Okay, all together on B. If Amen. This, I think, later on in the messages, the brothers will develop more. But I just like to point out, related to this, is the Lord's promise that when we're gathered together, he is in our midst. You know, the sweetest thing is to have the presence of the Lord. You know, the presence of the Lord in a special way that it brings us enlightenment, it brings us grace, and it brings us supply. So it is wonderful that we can be gathered in his name, that he will be in our midst, and he will answer our prayer when we are in oneness and in one accord. Amen. Praise the Lord.